questions, and we're gonna target them. All right, we're gonna talk about them. Now, questions are good. Everybody say questions are good. As long as they lead you to the Word of God and you get answers, right? Questions, when you are arguing with somebody, not good, all right? I've been in the middle of that. But listen, questions should lead you to the Word of God. Questions should lead you to answers, right? Isn't that wonderful when you get answers? But not to fight with one another. Please don't go fighting, all righty? Today, I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures, and I'm not going to tell you what I believe. Besides, who cares what I believe? But I'm going to give you scriptures, and we're going to open them up, and you're going to look at this, and it's going to show you, okay, some of these things, all righty? How many of you have noticed pretty much every week we give an invitation for people to receive Jesus? How many of you have noticed that? And I always say, this is my favorite part of the whole service, right? It's my favorite part. And the reason why we do that, well, we do it for a bunch of reasons, but one of it, it's our core values. We gather, we grow, and we go to those who are far away from the Lord, those who don't know the Lord, those who are lost. So that's part of our core vision, that we go and we do this, all righty? Now, don't you just love it when somebody raises their hand and says, pray for me? And then they say that prayer, right? And they receive Jesus into their life. Don't you just love it? Am I the only person? I love it. It's amazing. It still amazes me. It just amazes me. I love it, okay? And because I love that, and listen, when people give their life to Jesus in our service, we make it kind of easy, okay? And that's my question today. Ready? This is the title. Is salvation really that simple? Is salvation really that simple? All righty. Is salvation really that simple? And I'm telling you, we make it simple. We make it easy because of scriptures. All righty. Now, if you've come from a different, and listen, we all come from all over the place. We all come from different backgrounds, different church backgrounds on top of all of that. And if you come from a church background that says, hey, you can only get saved if you get saved in our church and you do it our way. And then you come here and Pastor D does this prayer at the end. Sometimes I say, raise your hand. Sometimes I just say this after me. So if you come from a church like that, and then you come here, and you're like, I don't think that can be. That's just like way too simple, all right? So we're going to talk today, is salvation simple? Or should it be harder? Should it be harder? Better yet, how about we make it harder for you? Okay, I want to make salvation harder for you. Like, you have this membership card, and you have to do these 25 steps, okay? And at the end of that, maybe you can be saved. You can receive Jesus, all right? Then you can go to heaven. Now, the really scary thing about that belief, and there are people that come from different places that do that, the really scary thing would be is they die someday. And they go to heaven, and they're up there with Jesus, and they hand him their membership card. Can I come in now? I finished the card. And you know what he's going to say? Come on, you can talk. Baby. There's only one way. There's always been one way. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. All right? It's not your membership card. So, hallelujah. So I'm going to do some talk about the Word of God, what the Word of God says about salvation, okay? But first I'm going to lay a little foundation. When you read your Bible and you study your Bible and you listen to CDs and podcasts and all that stuff, you should ask a question every time you open up your Bible, okay? You should be asking these two questions, okay? And they're actually what we call Bible interpretation rules, okay? And there's a bunch of them, but this is like your Joe Basic. I like Joe Basic. you know. Okay, here's Joe Basic. These are questions you should ask. Ready? Who is speaking? When you read your Bible, who is speaking and who are they speaking to? So write that down. Who's speaking and who are they speaking to? Alrighty, because everything in the Bible, or should I say, not everything in the Bible is for you. Not everything that's written in the Bible is written to you. Some of you give me that possum look. You missed it if you weren't here, all right? But listen, everything in the Bible can be applied in your life, in general. It can be applied in your life. Okay, let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, it says Israel will get back all of their land. Israel will get back all the land. Now, guess what? That's not for you, unless you're Jew and you live in Israel, okay? I'm a Gentile, according to the Bible, all right? So when I read that, that's not written to me and it's not written for me, is it? Awake, awake, O sleeper. Come on, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, but you know what's really interesting? God says that Israel's going to get back their land. I can actually take that and still apply it in my life. I could preach a whole message on it. Just let me at it. God, like the Lord impresses on your heart that he has called these things for you. Their promises that these are your inheritance. These are the blessings for you. I can take that scripture and say, God, this is my land. It's coming back to me. And I can speak that over my life. But who is it written to and who is it speaking? Not me. All right? So how many of you read the book of Job? Once far, far away land. Okay, the book of Job, by the way, is not written to you, is it? It's written to the Jews. Okay, so, and the funny thing about that is, I do not want to apply the book of Job to my life. And actually, this is D. Cashman paraphrase, God goes and rebukes those boys, and he says, you're a bunch of idiots, you don't know what you're talking about, now I'm going to tell you what's true. All right. So I don't want God doing that to me. But but you can apply especially the last three chapters of the book of Job. You can apply that to your life. Even though it's written to the Jew, I can still take that and apply it to my life. Those are the good parts. All righty. So you have to know, again, who you're talking, who's talking and who you're talking to. Now, write this down. There are three groups of people that the Bible speaks to. Three groups of people that the Bible speaks to. So when you read your Bible, they're going to speak to three different groups. The first one is the Jew. And that's like your old beginning Genesis through the Old Testament and through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Mainly, especially those Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're speaking to the Jews. Okay? Everybody on the page with me? You know what I'm talking? All right, say, yeah, Pastor D, I agree. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go. The second group that the Bible speaks to when you read it is to a Gentile, to the Gentiles. Those are people who are lost. We would call them the lost. Those are people that don't know the Lord. And actually, that's, again, our core value here. Those are people that are far from God. We go to people who are far from God. So it's speaking to Gentiles like that. The third group that the Bible speaks to is the church. The church, okay? Now, the church, is when you read your Bible and the word is speaking to the church, you'll find it from the book of Acts through Revelation. That's speaking to the church, okay? So if I want to find what the Lord is saying about the church, guess where I do not go? The Old Testament, right? Okay, you're going to stay on the New Testament because it's speaking to the church. The church is believers. The church are believers here. So we're going to stay on that side here. But when we're talking about salvation today, is salvation really that simple? Okay, well, if we're going to talk about salvation, guess where we're going to stay? On the New Testament side. But listen, there are tons of scriptures in the Old Testament that pointed to the one who was to come, right? There's like 600 of them, in, quote, Bible prophecy. But there are scriptures in the Old Testament that point to the one that's going to come. Praise the Lord. But today, we're going to start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because there's a couple of scriptures in there that apply to salvation. All righty? There's a couple of scriptures we're going to there. And then we're going to cruise over to Paul. And Paul's just amazing what he has to say about salvation. So the first guy that I want to look at concerning salvation is John the Baptist. Everybody here know John the Baptist? All right, John the Baptist. All righty. Now, here's the deal about John the Baptist. The Bible says that he was a forerunner of Jesus, right? He's a forerunner of Jesus. He was to proclaim that Jesus is coming. That was his job. Anybody know that? He was to proclaim, all righty? Now, John's specific job was to speak to the Jews, all right? Now, it's so interesting about John. He was a preacher, and he was preaching to the Jews that Jesus was to come, right? And many people say this about John the Baptist. He was just like this really strong, harsh kind of guy. And then, you know, that's what people have said about him. And then preachers grab hold of that, and they go, I'm going to preach just like John. You need to get saved. You're going to die and go to hell. Because that's the way John did it. And you know what? I went back and I looked at those scriptures. He never says that. He never says you're going to die and go to hell. As a matter of fact, and actually, how would you like someone coming up to you and say, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Oh, hell. Gosh. All right. And you know, when I hear that, what preachers say is, you know, John was mean. So I can say that and be mean like that. Listen, God's not mean. He's not mean, right? And I have to, what's it, Romans? The goodness of God leads to repentance. Not the meanness of God. The meanness of God leads to repentance. It's the goodness of God. Amen. I received Jesus because of the love and the hurt in my heart and the love of God by his goodness. Because if you were going to tell me you're a sinner, you're living in hell, I already knew that. I didn't need that. I needed the love and the goodness of God. And that's what drew me to the Lord Jesus many moons ago. All right. Okay, first scripture, Matthew 3, starting in verse 1. Praise God. This is John the Baptist, all right? This is John the Baptist here. This is about John. Matthew 3:1. In those days, John the Baptist came to Judea's wilderness and began preaching. His message, verse 2, was repent. Right? His message, somebody say, repent. Okay, that's as far as I'm going to get. Do you know what the word repent means? Yeah, change directions or turn from. So turn from this, turn to that. That's simply repent. Doesn't that word sound a little better now? Gosh, I do. Okay, so it says, repent, turn. Repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. All righty? So, John's job? Prepare the way for Jesus. Prepare the road. Clear the road, all right? Real simple, righty? All right, now, turn over to Luke. This is another scripture. It's about John the Baptist. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Hey, if you don't feel like taking notes, just write down these scriptures and go home. All right, go home and check them out. Because I got 14 of them today. Well, maybe. Close to it. How many do I have up there, Adam? A lot. Okay. Y'all at Luke chapter 1. Here we go. Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Zechariah is John's dad. And later on, we're going to talk about his mom, Elizabeth. So he says, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayers. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you will name him John, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Okay. He must never touch wine or alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. Now, this part here is John's job. John's mission. Ready? He will turn many Israelites to the Lord. Isn't that great? Right? Isn't that wonderful? But guess what? That's not written to you. That's written to the Jews. Right? That's written to the Jews. Okay? So people who say, I like to preach like John the Baptist, and I want to make sure everybody knows they're going to hell. Well, you ain't read your Bible, buddy. You have not read your Bible. You don't understand your Bible, because right here, that's not mean, telling people to repent, turn from tutu, and get ready for Jesus, is that? Right? All righty. Praise God. If we're going to talk about salvation is really simple, by the way, we make it simple here. We make it simple because we just follow some scriptures and we make it simple. But I think we should hear what Jesus says. Don't you think it's a good idea to go hear what Jesus says? Raise your hand. I think Jesus has something to say about salvation. Anybody agree? Yes. So we're going to go look at some scriptures that Jesus talks about salvation. I think he might know something. All righty. Turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Praise God. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, he said something to Jesus. He said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can come and do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now listen, guys, Nicodemus didn't ask that question and get that answer. Jesus said, hey, Nick, ditch that question. This is what I want you to know. Unless you're born again, you can't enter heaven. Do you see that? I love it when Jesus trumps your silly questions. He does that to me all the time. All right. So Jesus says you have to be born again if you want to go to heaven. Now, it's really interesting. Probably in the last 20 years, people don't like that born again words. Like it's a disease. Oh, you're one of those born again people. Right? Have you ever gotten around people? All right. And actually, I started going, all right. But here's the deal. Here's the deal about this. Jesus says, you have to be born again. And born again is something that happens on the inside, right? When you get born again, something happens on the inside. You're made new. You're born again. So you should walk up and say, hey, I'm born again. Don't be backing off like it's a disease, all righty? Jump down to verse 4. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born if he's old? Can he enter in a second time to his mother's womb and be born? All right, so Nicodemus is trying to figure this out with his brain. He's trying to figure this out, and it's just not making any sense. So, and that's because Jesus wasn't talking about natural things. So Jesus goes and explains what born again is, right? Goes in. Now, I'm not going to go read all of those, but jump down to verse 16. Verse 16, famous scripture, right? You could probably do cartwheels and say that, but I want you to read this with me. Here we go. We're at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, King James says, whosoever. Raise your hand if you're a whoever. Yeah. And yet, I have heard people give me this deal, right? People who say, well, God has predestined those who he is going to save. Anybody come across people that talk about predestination? Yeah. Okay. God has predestined those that he's going to save. He's going to allow certain ones, they're going to get saved, and the rest of you go to hell. That really, I just like to say that word. Okay. It's the worst word I should say. Here we go. Okay. But listen, guys, that's false. Anybody that comes up, say there's X amount of predestined, wrong, false, not true, right? It's not true. But listen to this. God has predestined everyone to meet Jesus. But, the big but he gives you a choice. It's called your free will. You have a choice whether you're going to receive him as your Lord and Savior or not, right? Okay. Do I want Jesus or do I not? That's your choice. That's what he does. Now watch let's go back to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes, everybody say believes. If you get anything about this message, when you walk out of here today, this is all I want you to know. Ready? You must believe. You must believe. That's how simple salvation is, right? That's how simple salvation is. It's just you believe. You believe. Can I tell you what the hardest part? You know what the hardest part is for someone for salvation? You know what the hardest part is? You're going to have to put down your pride and say, I need help. I need a savior. All right? You're going to have to do that. Now, pride will say this. I've been running my life, my whole life. And I don't want you messing with it, Jesus. I'm doing good. That's what pride will say. But if you will lay down your pride and say, God, I need help. I need your Jesus. I believe. Well, then it's not so hard. Isn't that something? But we make it hard. We do some dumb things. Okay, later on. John 3:16, the rest of it, okay? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Everybody say condemn. I hate being condemned. Anybody just love it when somebody condemns you? Like, how about this? Oh, you're living the wrong kind of life. You're saying all this stuff. I can't believe you still smoke that kind of stuff. I can't believe you talk like that. That's really condemning, isn't it? Okay, but you know what? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. By the way, you're the world. Or I was. I'm a part of the church now. But he didn't come to condemn them. You know what God did? God sent the Holy Spirit to convict our heart on what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And he's such a gentleman, isn't he? Okay, so Jesus did not come to condemn. Praise God. All right, the rest of this. Whoever believes, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever believes, everybody say believe. In him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is already condemned. Okay. Salvation is simple. If I could pick one word that you could use that says salvation, it would be believe. Who remembers those t-shirts we used to have? I believe. I was going to wear it, but it doesn't fit anymore. Funny thing happened on the way to church. Okay. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Salvation is belief. Salvation is belief. Okay? All you have to do is believe. And yet people say, Pastor D, but they need to come crying to the altar. They need to beg Jesus. They need to confess all their sins and ask God if they'll forgive them. I didn't read that. Did you? Uh-uh. You know? Nope. You know what? Actually, you could just walk up kind of nonchalantly and say, Jesus, I need you. That simple. It's that simple. Salvation is that simple. Amen. So that's what Jesus said. All right. So we're not going to mess with Jesus. I'm not arguing with him. He says it's really simple. It's believe. You have to believe. All right. Now I want to get to the Apostle Paul. I want you to look at Paul because Paul had an encounter, changed his life. Matter of fact, he had when how he met Jesus was actually very simple. And if you see how simple it is, you'll see why he writes all these other scriptures and makes it simple. Everybody say simple. I like simple. Praise the Lord. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Just write down chapter 9, 1 through 19. I'm not reading 19 scriptures, okay? We're just going to pick some of these out, all right? You can read them later. Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Saul, okay, Paul hasn't had his name changed, so that's who we were addressing. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, meaning Christians, saved, right, born again people, if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You know what it really should say is, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church, Christians?" Okay? But you know how God sees it? It's not, "How come they're persecuting me?" God sees it as, "They're persecuting the one you stand for." And his name is? So don't get bent out of shape. If I told you people, "Well, Pastor D, they just been persecuting me at work." It's not you. It's not you. Don't take it personally. Now, I have done the crying thing too, okay? I have. But don't take it personally. It's they're persecuting Jesus, who you stand for, right? All right. Let's read the rest of that. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, now this is Saul talking right now. Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Okay, so Saul all of a sudden has this encounter, right? He has this encounter, and he follows the directions. Who gave him his directions? Jesus just spoke to him. He gave him directions. So Saul hears these directions. He follows his directions, and he goes to this, does that. In the process, he has these things over his eyes. It says he couldn't see. He's blind. He has these things over his eyes. And then there's this guy, Ananias. And Ananias has a vision. Has anybody ever had a vision from the Lord? Wow, it's just so fun. Okay, I haven't. But Ananias has a vision for the Lord, and the Lord Jesus says, "Hey, you're supposed to meet this guy, Saul, and you're supposed to bring him to over here," all right? So jump down to verse 13. But Ananias, so he had this vision, and Ananias answered the Lord and says, "Lord, I've heard many things about this man, Saul, and how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." So you know what he's saying? "What? Are you kidding me? You want me to go with that jerk?" I don't know. I was trying to think of a nice word. Okay. You know, "I don't want to go to him. I don't want to preach to him." Has anybody ever had some people in your life that you're like, "I don't want to go tell them nothing about Jesus. I hope they go to hell." Nah, we didn't say that. Right. But you might have thought that, right? Okay. Oh, I just keep making you wake up and laugh, all right? I'd never say that, all right? But that's sort of what Ananias is saying. "I don't want to go there. Are you kidding me?" He's trying to lock everybody up. He's been a murderer and stuff like that, all righty? So Ananias, jump down to 14 and 15. Here we go. And here he was, he's talking about Saul, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on the name. But the Lord said to him, "Go!" The Lord told Ananias, "Go!" Even though he had all of his excuses, he said, "Go!" Which is one of our core values. Go to those who are far from Jesus, right? Go tell them. "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." Okay, here's my question. Ready? We just read most of this, and you can go read it back. But do you see anywhere in all of that we just read where do you see anywhere in that scripture where Paul says, Jesus, I accept you. Jesus, I repent of my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Do you see that anywhere in those scriptures we just read? No. Y'all looking at me. All right. No, you don't. Okay. Now, we do that here. We do that here. We'll ask someone, have you ever received Jesus? Would you like Jesus? He's knocking at your door. Would you like to receive him into your heart? And we'll say, we'll have them repeat a prayer. I accept you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for forgiving my sins. I thank you. I'm now a child of God. Da, 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 da. Okay. And we do that so that people can have a point of contact, right? So they can say these things. But right, Paul, Saul, he didn't do any of that, did he? Did he do that? Okay, listen, when he said, verse 5, when he said, who are you, Lord? That was the moment his life changed. That was the moment his life changed, guys. It was totally different, all right? So, you know, some of you are thinking, he got saved by saying that? It really should be a whole lot harder. Pastor D, it's got to be harder than just saying that, okay? Listen, it's not that hard. It's not that hard at all. Turn over to Acts chapter 22. I'm going to show you some things. This is Paul. So we just finished reading Acts chapter 9. We're bumping you over to Acts 22, and this is years later. This is years later. Saul has his name changed to Paul. Okay, this is years later. Alrighty? And this is actually Paul giving an account, telling what had happened in Acts chapter 9. You following me? All right? Okay, I'm at Acts. Here we go. Acts chapter 22, verses 8, 9, and 10. Ready? Here we go. This is Paul talking, and he's telling everybody what had happened. He said, I answered, like, you know, Jesus said, you're persecuting me. And then verse 8, he says, I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Remember, this is the same account, just a couple different chapters later, and Paul's telling these people this. Verse 9, now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise, go to Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. Okay. The moment he said, Lord, that moment God had called him and anointed him to do things, right? Okay, I'm going to read it again. Okay, arise, go to Damascus, and there you'll be told what is appointed for you to do. Now, he's not going to appoint someone who doesn't know Jesus to do things for the Lord. He's going to appoint someone who is born again. All right? Now, you're looking at me like, what the heck is she talking about? Doesn't Paul say, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be That's what Paul wrote, because that's what Paul did. He said, Lord. And that's why he writes it later on. How simple is salvation? Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. All right. So he did. And he called on the name of the Lord and God appointed him. And it gave him a calling. Okay. Jump down to verse 16. Verse 16, we're still at Acts 22, verse 16. And now, why do you wait? This is Jesus going, come on, why are you waiting here? And he says, rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, comma, see that comma in there? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, comma, call on his name. All right, so how do you get your sins washed away? Call on the name of Jesus. Right? That's how you get your sins washed away. I can't clean you up. Jesus does, and you call on his name, and that's what happens in salvation. Isn't that awesome? Okay, call on his name. Praise the Lord. So some of you are thinking here, Pastor D, I don't need to hear this. I'm already saved. Oh, no, no, no. Listen, guys, you know why you need to hear this? Because that's our job. If you're the church, if you're born again, if you're a believer, if you're saved, whatever word you like on your t-shirt, okay? That's your job, is to tell people about Jesus, to tell them how to get saved. And listen, telling them how to get saved is not hard. It's not hard, right? It's not difficult. It's not like, man, you need to get saved, and before you get saved, you need to do this, this, and this, and you need to pay a price. No, I've just read this. Those that call in the name of the Lord, right? Call in the name of the Lord, and your sins are forgiven, and be baptized. All right, now, up here, in case you're new to YCF, if you lift the lid, hook the lid, by the way, it weighs like 100 pounds, you get somebody to lift it, is our spa, aka baptismal. It's where we baptize people. Okay? Anybody ever been baptized in that thing? It's real finesse to get in and out of that. Amen. Okay. So listen, baptism, water baptism, doesn't wash away your sins. Right? Doesn't wash away your sins. But baptism is what you do after you receive Jesus, right? You acknowledge, you speak, you come and get dunked. And it's an acknowledgement of what Jesus has done inside of you. He washed away your sins. What does it say? It's an inward grace of an outward. Did I get that wrong? An outward sign of an inward grace. I do that backwards. It's an outward sign of an inward grace. Baptism doesn't get you saved. But those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? All right, turn over to Acts 16. Here's another one. This is a story about Paul. Again, Paul is no longer, he's got his name changed from Acts chapter 9. This is many moons later. Ready? Acts chapter 16. Paul's received Jesus. Paul's in the ministry. He's running all over creation, telling the good news to people. All right? Acts chapter 16. That's because I'm not there. That's why I said that again. Acts chapter 16. So I don't have to read the whole thing. Paul's been preaching the gospel, just telling people, standing there and telling people who Jesus is. And what happens is he gets thrown in jail. He gets thrown in jail, and their jail is not York County Jail. They do not have air conditioning, all right? It's pretty yucky. He gets thrown in jail for preaching, and he's in jail with his buddy, his partner, Silas. Anybody know that story? So they're in jail. They've been beat, and they put in chains and shackles. I like that, shackles and chains, and they're chained up in this dark, dirty place. And you know what they do that night? Singing praises to Jesus. I'm sure you all did that when all hell broke loose in your life, right? Jesus, I just love you. You're so good. I love you, love you, love you. Yeah, right. We're working on it, right? Okay, so they had some really tough circumstances, and they're praising the Lord. And you know what the Lord does? He sends this earthquake, and their chains break off of them and everybody in the jail. Everybody in the jail. And they're ready to go hightail it out of there, wouldn't you? Right? And now there's a jailer. Every jail has a jailer, right? And the jailer gets a little nervous right about then. Not so much about the earthquake, but all of these prisoners are going to go bolting. They've got their chains. So he gets really nervous, and praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 29. And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in and trembled with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas, and then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Everybody see that? Okay, what must I do to be saved? Now, did they say, this is Paul and Silas, "Oh, you've got to get on the ground and cry and beg Jesus to come into your life. You have to wait 5 years until you get your life together." Did they say that? Nope, they didn't. Okay, so it says, and this is what they said. So he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Believe." Everybody say believe. Believe. Believe, all right? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you and your household. So he's saying, really simple. Is salvation really simple, guys? What do you have to do? Believe. I love it. Believe. Okay. And I'm telling you, it's not a big ritual. It's not a big, you have to do thing. Okay. Let's look over at Ephesians chapter 2. I told you, I'm giving you scriptures. All right. I'm giving you a bunch of scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you are saved, right? Through faith. All right. Grace is everything that God did. Thank you. Grace is everything God did, all right? Faith is you just receiving what God did. Faith is you receiving, all right? Now, grace includes salvation. Write that down. Grace includes salvation. So, how do you receive Jesus? How do you receive Jesus? Well, you receive him by faith, right? You receive him by faith, okay? You don't go by your feelings. You don't go by your feelings like, you know, I feel really good today, so I've got saved. Or I feel really bad, so I'm not saved. No, you go by faith, right? Okay, now, the rest of that says, well, let's read it again. For by grace you are saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So can you imagine going up to the Lord and says, you know, Lord, I have worked so hard, so I should get saved. I have done this. Lord, you know, I've really been working at this. I've been going to church for a whole month. Every Sunday for a whole month. So I should get saved, all right? Now, then that would be all about what you did, right? That would be all about what you did. Here, listen. But that's not the way God does it. It's just not the way God does this. Salvation has nothing to do with you. Already? You don't even deserve it, right? It's nothing to do with what you did. You don't deserve it, but you got salvation. You got Jesus simply by, I believe. I believe. That's how simple it is, okay? Praise God. So, I love when people say, you know, I've been trying really hard so I can get saved. No. Salvation comes when you get to the point in your life when you go, I need help. I need a savior. Real simple. Okay. So here's some really great news. You can come to YCF. You can come to any church, but YCF preferably. And you can sit here for 6 months. You can sit here for a year. All right. And we're not going to condemn you. I'm not going to condemn you. We're not going to condemn you. We won't say, you know, just because the way you're living your life, we're not going to condemn you, all right? You can sit here for 6 months, 9 months, a year, and not know Jesus. You can come and you can sit here. And you know what? You can be living your life the way you want, and we're not going to condemn you. But how about you come here, and then God starts pulling on your heart through the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit will draw you, all right? And he starts dealing with your heart. And that day you go, I need help. I need Jesus. And at that point, you go, you get saved. You call on the name of the Lord. And at that point, everything in your life changes. Isn't that wonderful, right? It's just, you believe. That's salvation. You believe, okay? Now, here's the good thing. You're not going to rock God's boat if you sit here for 6 months, 9 months, a year, and you don't receive. And you're not going to rock my boat, though I'm going to be praying, okay? It's okay. But I tell you what, God has appointed times, and the day you do, woohoo, everything changes. But we're going to welcome you. Praise God. Look over at Romans. Where are we going now? Romans 10. Romans 10. We're going to do 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, maybe. Okay, Romans 10. How about, let's start at 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and, everybody say, believe. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one, everybody say, believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Woohoo! Okay. Listen, salvation. Salvation's easy. The hard part's what God did, right? The hard part's what God did. That was the hard part. God sent Jesus. That was the hard part. Jesus came to earth and he died. He was crucified. He rose from the dead. That was the hard part, right? That's hard, okay? That was the hard part. Your part isn't hard. Everybody say, my part's not hard. Yep. My part is I just believe. That's it. The hard part was God. Your part's the easy part. You just believe. And sometimes we think, doesn't it have to be, you know, a fantastic, special, you have to sign something? Nope. You seeing anywhere where it says that? Salvation is you just believe and call on the name of the Lord. So simple, so simple. Okay. In Ephesians, it says, those that call on the name of the Lord, anyway, just going to toss one more scripture because I didn't think you had enough scriptures written down here. But it says, those that call on the name of the Lord will be sealed, sealed with him. How many have ever done canning vegetables? Okay. I never did the water bath thing. I would make strawberry jam and pour that wax on top of it back in the day. Now I do freezer jam. But I'd pour that wax and it would seal in all that good stuff, right? Those that call on the name of the Lord are sealed in him. It's a done deal. You're sealed with him. Okay, isn't that exciting? Yeah. Shoo, I'm excited. All righty. So, listen, God's part, there's a man part. God has a part in salvation, man has a part, okay? God's part was the hard part, right? God's part was the hard part. Your part is easy. What's your part? Believe. Believe. Just believe. Okay. So if you're here and you go, I just can't do it. I just can't believe today, Pastor D. That's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. All right. But sooner or later. Yep. All right. So praise the Lord. Shoo, baby. Here we go. Hard part. So if the hardest part, and I'm going to say this again, the hardest part about salvation will not be so much the receiving part. The hardest part, we said, is putting down your pride, right? Put down your pride and go, you know what? I need help. I need a savior. How many of you know Carrie Underwood? She came out with a song a couple years back called Jesus, Take the Wheel. I like that song because I can apply this to salvation. You know why? It's because it's like when I get to this point where I go, Jesus, I'm a mess. Life's a mess. I ask you to take the wheel of my life. I'm tired of doing it. Could you be the driver of my life? That's salvation. So now you can listen to that song and say, Pastor D likes that song. Okay, so the hard part's putting down your pride. If you've yet to receive Jesus, really, it's about pride. Saying, I need help. I need somebody to take care of my life. What are you kidding me? Yes, you do. Are you nuts? Yes, you are. I can take care of my life. No, you can't. Did you look? All right? That's the hardest part about the salvation part, really. Now, the hard part, or I should say, I like this word. How about this? The challenging part, if you have already received Jesus, you know what your challenging part is? Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a disciple. So you've already received Jesus. Your challenge part, hard part, challenge part, is being a disciple. So I'm going to give you one more scripture. Yeah, maybe. Philippians 2. Turn over to Philippians 2. Ready? Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Okay, when you read a scripture, you go, who's writing it and who's it to? Philippians is written by Paul, and he's writing to? That's us, all right? Okay, so this is written to you and me, all right? If you've received Jesus, this is written to you. Here he goes. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, I love that word as a parent, obey. My kids used to go, I can't believe she says that. Okay, sorry. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, But much more in my absence. Okay, Paul wasn't hanging out with them. He had moved on, okay? And he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. All right. So guys, God has only good things for you. He's got great good pleasures for you. He wants to just, he's got them for you, okay? But this is not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about working out your salvation. So this is written to who? The church. That means you have already received, called on the name of the Lord, right? You've already called on the Lord. And Paul goes, you need to work out what's inside of you. You need to work out what's inside of you. Okay, greatness. There's greatness inside of you. There's self-control inside of you. Okay, there's love inside of you. That's part of working out your salvation. Okay, now, when you come to church, I am not working out Joyce's salvation. Right? And now, I am going to tell you some things that will help you work out your salvation. But I'm not messing with your salvation. I'm not going to work for you. I'm working on me, all right? So Paul says you need to work out your own salvation. So why do we go to church? Why do we have grow groups? Why do we say gather, okay? Because it'll help you work out your salvation. Live this life victoriously, okay? So I was driving by the other day, and I saw this policeman pulled over somebody for speeding, okay? And I like to go fast. I should live on the Audubon, right? You just go, I just love doing it. So when I live in York, New Salem, I come up with that 616 and I hit Market Street here. It's this straight shot. And I just could go 80 miles an hour. And I think I have some time. The speed limit's 40. Okay? Yep. And I have gotten pulled over there. It's been years ago because I'm straightening up my act here. Really, started straightening my act after we were on high risk for 3 years, Jack and I, for doing all this stuff. But really, I straightened up my act because the Lord said, you would not have a voice to your children. And he just gets you, doesn't he? He just gets you. So why am I telling you all that? I have to work out my salvation. I still like to go fast. I still like to disobey. I still like to do this. But the King, the Holy One of God lives inside of me. And I choose to work this out. And for a whole year now, one whole year, I haven't done anything like that. I'm waiting to get off this high risk again at the end of the year. Gee whiz. I know, so I'm being good. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know, it is much better. Can you imagine having to work out your salvation in a cave all by yourself, far, far away? Can you imagine having to do that? It is much better to be with people, believers, the church. That's why he says, don't forsake the gathering together. It is better to do life with people because we'll help you and I'll tell you and you can work on your salvation. And live it a great life, and it won't cost you high-risk insurance. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay. So again, the most challenging thing, if you have received Jesus, will be to work this out. And guys, you work it out till the day Jesus calls you home. And it's not a hard thing. It really isn't. It is not a hard thing. It's a fun thing. How many of you are having fun with Jesus? How many enjoy your life? How many remember your life before? Man, not pretty. Okay? So I'm having a good time. Praise the Lord. But that is the challenge if you're a believer. All righty? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. We're going to close. Praise the Lord. I believe there are people here that have never received Jesus, and I don't care how far you are from God, how good you've been for God, how bad you've been for God. The Bible says where sin abounds, so does grace. Grace abounds even more. And Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek." So God doesn't care what your background is. He doesn't care what track you come from. He doesn't care how educated you are or how educated you're not. He doesn't care. Jesus Christ wants you to come to Him. Just come to Him, all right? And all you have to do is say, "I need you. I need you. I am ready for you." So if you're here today and just close your eyes, let's just, you know, the presence of the Lord is here. I just bow your heads just for a few minutes, and then I'll let you out of here. But if you're here and you'd say, "Pastor D, I need Jesus. I want Him today." Good. If you're here and you say, "Pastor D, I prayed that prayer once, and I've just, for somehow, it's like I've just kind of drifted away. I've kind of been far, far away." Well, then I want to ask you, are you ready to take a step back? It's real easy. Just take a step back. Take a step back to Him. Okay, so today can be the day where you say, "Pastor, I need Jesus. I want Jesus." Or you can say, "Pastor D, I'm ready to come back. And I'd like to pray for everybody here." Just pray this prayer. And actually, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Okay? Pray this prayer with me. Here we go. Lord God, I repent of my sins. I turn to Jesus. Jesus, I believe. You died for me. You rose from the dead for me. And I call on your name. Praise the Lord. Jesus, I ask you to save me. Thank you for forgiving me all my sins. Thank you. Now I am a new person. I'm your child. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Amen. All right. Is the question, salvation simple?